This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
You're much talked about in America. There's much conversation, more so than
maybe they have nothing else to do in America but to talk about me.
He seemed relaxed and ready to talk about everything when we met Vladimir Putin last week, and we asked him a lot of questions about himself.
Some have called you a czar.
So what? You know, people call me different names.
About Ukraine, about ISIS, about Russia's place in the world.
We do not have any obsession with being a superpower in the international arena.
But you are, in part, a major power because of the nuclear weapons you have. You are a force to be reckoned with.
I hope so. I definitely hope so.
You know, neither party likes you very much. How are you going to get...
I would say that's true, yes.
How are you going to get anything through
Congress? Well, when you say the party, the establishment does it. For instance, I noticed that
That's who Congress is.
No, that's okay.
How are you going to get anything?
I've gotten along with politicians my whole life. I've made a fortune on politicians. Nobody knows politicians better than I do. I get along with politicians.
You're not going to be able to buy them anymore.
No, I'm not going to buy them. I'll get along with them. You got to get along, and you got to get people to do what you... It's called leadership.
The next president of the United States.
Tonight, candidate Donald Trump tells us how he would tackle the most critical issues facing America today. And he unveils a tax plan which is sure to make news.
And that's something I haven't told anybody.
I'm Steve Croft.
I'm Leslie Stahl.
I'm Morley Safer.
I'm Bill Whitaker.
I'm Charlie Rose.
I'm Scott Pelley. Those stories tonight on the 48th season premiere of 60 Minutes.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There aren't many world leaders who have generated as much interest as Russia's Vladimir Putin. All eyes will be on Putin when he speaks at the UN tomorrow and meets with President Obama at a time when he has placed himself and his country in the middle of the most pressing issues of our times. He helped the U.S. and its Western allies broker the nuclear deal with Iran. And now, with a Russian buildup of aircraft, military equipment, and personnel in Syria, He has put himself and his country at the center of that civil war and the fight against ISIS. Now, when his relations with the United States seem to be at a post-Cold War low, suffering under Western economic sanctions imposed on Russia, Putin may be looking for a way to restore his international influence and gain the respect he seeks for his homeland. Just before his trip to the U.S., Putin invited us to meet him at his state residence outside Moscow, where we found him characteristically confident and combative as he made the case that the focus in Syria should be on fighting ISIS rather than removing Syrian President Assad.
So you would like to join the United States in the fight against ISIS. That's part of why you're there. Others think that while that may be part of your goal, you're trying to save the Assad administration because they've been losing ground and the war has not been going well for them. And you're there to rescue them.
Правильно, так и есть.
Well, you're right. We support the legitimate government of Syria. And it's my deep belief that any actions to the contrary in order to destroy the legitimate government will create a situation which you can witness now in the other countries of the region or in other regions, for instance, in Libya, where all the state institutions are disintegrated. We see a similar situation in Iraq. And there's no other solution to the Syrian crisis than strengthening the effective government structures and rendering them help in fighting terrorism, but at the same time urging them to engage in positive dialogue with the rational opposition and conduct reform.
As you know, some of the coalition partners want to see President Assad go first before they will support.
I'd like to recommend to them the following. They should send this message to the Syrian people. It's only the Syrian people who are entitled to decide who should govern their country and how.
President Assad, you support him. Do you support what he is doing in Syria and what is happening to those Syrian people, those many millions of refugees, and the hundreds of thousands of people that have been killed, many by his own force?
Well, tell me, what do you think about those who support the opposition, and mainly the terrorist organizations, only in order to oust Assad without thinking about what will happen to the country after all the government institutions have been demolished? Today you have repeatedly said that Assad is fighting against his own population. But look at those who are in control of 60% of the territory in Syria. It's controlled by either ISIS or by others,
al-Nusra,
such as al-Nusra and other terrorist organizations. They're recognized as terrorist organizations by the United States, by other states, and by the United Nations.
Are you prepared to put Russian combat troops on the ground in Syria if it's necessary to defeat ISIS?
Россия не будет участвовать ни в каких...
Russia will not participate in any troop operations in the territory of Syria or in any other states. Well, at least we don't plan on it right now. But we are considering intensifying our work with both President Assad and with our partners in other countries.
I come back to the problem that many people look at, and they believe that Assad helps ISIS, that his reprehensible conduct against the Syrian people using barrel bombs and worse is a recruiting tool for ISIS, and that if he was removed, transitioned at some point, it would be better in the fight against ISIS, al-Nusra, and others.
Well, speaking in a professional language of intelligence services, I can tell you that this kind of assessment is an active measure by enemies of Assad. It is anti-Syrian propaganda.
Much is being read into this, including this, that this is a new effort for Russia to take a leadership role in the Middle East, and that it represents a new strategy by you. Is it
Нет, нет, мы уже...
Not really, no.
Более 2000 боевиков...
More than 2,000 fighters from Russia and ex-Soviet republics are in the territory of Syria. There's a threat of their return to us. So instead of waiting for their return, we are better off helping Assad fight them on Syrian territory. So this is the most important thing, which encourages us and pushes us to provide assistance to Assad. And in general, we want the situation in the region to stabilize.
But your pride in Russia means that you would like to see Russia play a bigger role in the world, and this is just one example.
Это не является нашей самоцелью.
Well, it's not the goal in itself. I'm proud of Russia, that's true, and we have something to be proud of.
У нас нет какого-то фетиша по поводу.
But we do not have any obsession with being a superpower in the international arena.
But you are in part a major power because of the nuclear weapons you have. You are a force to be reckoned with.
Ну, надеюсь. Я надеюсь. Иначе зачем же?
I hope so. I definitely hope so. Otherwise, why do we have nuclear weapons at all?
Recent tension between the United States and Russia began after Ukraine's President Yanukovych was overthrown and fled to Russia. Putin responded by annexing Crimea, leading the U.S. and Western allies to impose tough economic sanctions against Russia.
Ukraine is a separate and major issue for us. It's our closest neighbor. We've always said this is our sister country. It's not only a Slavic people. We have common history, common culture, common religion, and many things in common. What I believe is absolutely unacceptable is the resolution of internal political issues in the former USSR republics through color revolutions, through coup d'etat, through unconstitutional removal of power. That is totally unacceptable. Our partners in the United States have supported those who ousted Yanukovych.
You believe that the United States had something to do with the ousting of Yanukovych? And he had to flee to Russia.
But я знаю об этом точно.
I know that for sure.
How do you know that for sure?
Очень просто, потому что люди, которые живут на Украине.
I know those people who live in Ukraine.
Всяких контактов и тысяч.
We have thousands of contacts with them. We know who and where, when. Who exactly met with someone and worked with those who ousted Yanukovych, how they were supported, how much they were paid, how they were trained, where, in which countries, and who those instructors were. We know everything.
For the record, the U.S. government has denied any involvement in the removal of the Ukrainian leader. Do you respect the sovereignty of Ukraine?
Конечно.
Sure. But we want countries to respect the sovereignty of other countries, and Ukraine in particular. Respect for sovereignty means to not allow unconstitutional action and coup d'etat, the removal of legitimate power.
How will the renewal of legitimate power take place in your judgment? How will that come about? And what role will Russia play?
Россия никогда не принимала, не принимает и не собирается принимать участие.
Russia has not taken part and is not going to take part in any actions aimed at removing the legitimate government.
You have a military presence on the border of Ukraine, and some even argue that there have been Russian troops in Ukraine.
У вас есть военное присутствие в
Европе. Well, do you have a military presence in Europe?
Yes. Тактическое ядерное оружие. Это что означает?
American tactical nuclear weapons are in Europe. Let's not forget that. What does this mean? Does it mean that you've occupied Germany? Or that you've transformed the occupation forces into NATO forces? And if we have our military forces on our territory, on the border with some state, you believe this is a crime?
What Vladimir Putin thinks about America and about President Obama might surprise you. That and some insights into his personality when we come back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Vladimir Putin has wielded power in Russia for more than 15 years, longer than many czars. He has not only reshaped his own country, but has begun to play a larger role in international affairs as an occasional ally, but more often foe, of U.S. policy. Presidential candidates have portrayed him as a bully, a gangster, or pragmatic opponent who can be bargained with. One thing we found, a strong personality who will engage in a conversation with blunt talk, charm, and wit.
You're much talked about in America. There's much conversation, more so than any...
Maybe they have nothing else to do in America but to talk about
it. No. Or maybe they're curious people. Or maybe you're an interesting character. Maybe that's what it is. They know of a former KGB agent who came back and got into politics in St. Petersburg and became deputy mayor and then came to Moscow. And the interesting thing is they see these images of you bare-chested on a horse, and they say, there is a man who carefully cultivates his image of strength.
You know, I'm convinced that a person in my position must provide a positive example to people. And those areas where he can do this, he must do this.
You enjoy the work, you enjoy representing Russia, and you know you've been an intelligence officer. Intelligence officers know how to read other people. That's part of the job, yes? Yes?
Была.
It used to be. Now I have a different job, and that's been for quite a long time.
Somebody in Russia told me there is no such thing as a former KGB man. Once a KGB man, always a KGB man.
Вы знаете, вот...
Well, you know, anything that we do, all this knowledge we acquire, all the experience, we'll have it forever. And we'll keep that. And we'll use it somehow. So, in this sense, yes, they're right.
A CIA operative once said to me that one of the training you have is you learn the capacity to be liked as well. Because you have to charm people. You have to charm people. You have to, yes... Seduce them.
Well, if the CIA told you, then that's the way it is, because they're an expert on that.
You have a popularity rating in Russia that would make every politician in the world envious. Why are you so popular?
Есть нечто, что объединяет меня и...
There is something that I have in common with every citizen of Russia, the love for our motherland.
Many of us were moved by an emotional moment at the time of the World War II memory because of the sacrifices Russia had made. And you were seen with a picture of your father with tears in your eyes.
Да, моя семья понесла серьезные потери, мои родственники в целом.
My family suffered very major losses during the Second World War. That's true.
Ну, вот в семье отца у них было, по-моему, пять братьев.
In my father's family there were five brothers. I think four of them died. On my mother's side the picture was pretty much the same. Russia has suffered great losses. And of course, we can't forget that, and we must not forget that. Not to put blame on somebody, but to prevent anything like this from happening in the future.
You also have said that the worst thing that happened in the last century was the collapse of the Soviet Empire. There are those who look at Ukraine, especially Ukraine and Georgia, and they believe that you do not want to recreate the Soviet Empire. But you do want to recreate a sphere of influence which you think Russia deserves because of the relationship that has existed. Why are you smiling?
Why?
You're making me happy because we're always suspected of some ambitions, and they always try to distort something or hint at something. I indeed said that I believe that the collapse of the USSR was a huge tragedy of the 20th century. You know why? Because first of all, in an instant, 25 million Russian people found themselves beyond the borders of the Russian state, although they were living within the borders of the Soviet Union. Then all of a sudden, the USSR collapsed, just overnight, in fact. And it's turned out that in the former Soviet republics, 25 million Russian people were living. They were living in a single country, and all of a sudden they turned out to be outside the borders of the country. You see, this is a huge problem. First of all, there were everyday problems, the separation of families, social problems, economic problems. You can't list them all. Do you think it's normal that 25 million Russian people were abroad all of a sudden? Russia was the biggest divided nation in the world. It's not a problem? Well, maybe not for you, but it's a problem for me.
There are many people who are critical of Russia, as you know. They say that it's more autocratic and less democratic. They say that political opponents and journalists have been killed and imprisoned in Russia. They say your power is unchallenged. And they say that power and absolute power corrupts absolutely. What do you say to those people who worry about the climate, the atmosphere in Russia?
Well, there can be no democracy whatsoever without compliance with the law. Everyone must observe the laws. This is the most important thing which we must bear in mind. As for these tragic events, such as the death of people, including journalists, unfortunately, they do occur in all countries of the world. But if they happen in our country, we do the utmost to find the criminals and to punish them. But the most important thing is that we will continue to improve our political system so that every citizen can feel that they do influence the life of the city, of the country, and of the society, and so that the authorities will feel responsible with regard to those people who trust them during the election campaigns.
If you, as the leader of this country, insist that the rule of law be adhered to, if you insist that justice be done, if you, because of your power, then it could go a long way to eliminating that perception.
Well, a lot can be done, but not everyone succeeds with everything from the very start. How long did it take the democratic process to develop in the United States? Do you believe that everything is perfect now from the point of view of democracy in the United States? If everything was perfect, there wouldn't be the problem of Ferguson. There would be no abuse by the police. But our task is to see all these problems and to respond properly.
So the people who killed Mr. Nemtsov will be prosecuted to the fullest.
Yes. I said it right away that this is a shame for our history, and criminals must be prosecuted and punished.
Are you curious about America? More than simply another nation that you have to deal with.
Of course, we're curious about what's going on. America exerts enormous influence on the situation in the world as a whole.
What do you admire most about America?
I like the creativity.
Creativity
when it comes to tackling your problems. Their openness and open-mindedness, because it allows them to unleash the inner potential of their people. And thanks to that, America has attained such amazing results in developing their country.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of President Obama? What's your evaluation of him?
I don't think I'm entitled to give any views regarding the president. That's up to the American people.
Do you think his activities in foreign affairs reflect a weakness?
I don't think so at all. You see, here's the thing. In any country, and in the United States, I believe this happens even more often than in any other country, foreign political factors are used for domestic political battles. There's a presidential campaign coming up, so they're playing either the Russian card or some other.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Do you think he listens to you?
Well, I think we listen to each other in a way, especially when it comes to something that doesn't go counter to our own ideas about what we should and should not do.
Do you think he considers Russia? You said you're not a superpower. He considers Russia an equal and considers you an equal, which is the way you want to be treated.
Well, you ask him. He's your president. How could I know what he thinks?
Are you watching the Republican political debates?
Well, I don't watch them daily, no.
Marco Rubio is running for the Republican nomination, and he said that you were like a gangster.
How can I be a gangster if I worked for the KGB? Come on. That does not correspond to reality.
Are people in Russia fearful of you?
I think no, they're not. And most people trust me if they vote for me in the election. That's the most important thing. It places a huge responsibility on me, and I'm grateful to people for this trust. But at the same time, I feel this huge burden of responsibility for doing what I do and for the results of my work.
As you know, some have called you a czar.
So what? You know, people call me different names.
Does the name fit?
No, it does not fit me. It's not important what you're called, whether these are well-wishers, friends, or opponents.
It's
important what you do for the interests of the country that has entrusted you with such a position as the head of the Russian state.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Picture a bar graph that averages the best political polls. Donald Trump stands above the crowded skyline of Republican candidates like one of his boastful buildings. First in the nation, first in Iowa, first in New Hampshire, and first for the last 11 weeks. Political architects are amazed because Trump rose on a shaky foundation. His shoot-from-the-lip style managed to offend women, Latinos, and American POWs. Now, with summer over and 4 months to Iowa, voters captivated by a larger-than-life personality begin to want the fine details. That's what we were looking for this past Tuesday when we met Trump on top in his Fifth Avenue penthouse in Manhattan. He surprised us with news about his tax plan.
So now you've got everybody's attention.
I do have their attention.
Revolution is easy. Governing is hard. And what I'd like to get at is how you intend to govern the country if you're elected president. What's your tax plan?
A substantial reduction for the middle-income people, because our middle class, God, is being absolutely decimated. It will be a corporate also reduction. I think it'll be a great incentive for corporations.
Who are you going to raise taxes on?
If you look at actual raise, some very wealthy are going to be raised. Some people that are getting unfair deductions are going to be raised. But overall, it's going to be a tremendous incentive to grow the economy. And we're going to take in the same or more money. And I think we're going to have something that's going to be spectacular.
But Republicans don't raise taxes.
Raising taxes.
What kind of Republican are you?
I mean, I'm a pretty good Republican, but I will tell you this. I do have some differences. I don't want to have certain people on Wall Street get away with paying no tax.
You say you're going to lower taxes on the middle class. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about numbers that will be announced over the next 2 days, and they'll be significant for the middle class.
Do you know what the numbers are?
I know them right now.
Well, why don't you tell me? This is 60 Minutes.
I know.
It's time to tell the folks at home the details
what you intend to do.
This. There will be a large segment of our country that will have a zero rate. And that's something I haven't told anybody.
You're talking about?
We're talking about people in the low-income brackets that are supposed to be paying taxes. Many of them don't anyway.
You're talking about making part of the population exempt from income taxes.
That is correct.
You're talking about cutting corporate income
taxes.
That
is correct.
But there's a $19 trillion federal debt.
That's right. We're going to grow the economy so much.
You can't afford to do those things.
No, no, but if the economy grows the way it should grow, if I bring jobs back from China, from Japan, from Mexico, from so many countries, everybody's taking our jobs.
How do you get them back?
You get them back.
Those $20 an hour jobs that this country was built on.
Right, exactly. You get them back by taking them away from other countries. I mean, if you look at China, we
have. How does the president do that?
Well, the president does it by not allowing places like China to devaluate. You know, they devalue their currency, Scott, to such an extent that it's impossible for our companies to compete. Every time they do that, they suck the blood right out of our country.
You're not running for president of China.
No, I'm
not. You're not going to be able to prevent the devaluation of their currency.
Sure you are. Look, they don't respect our president. They don't respect our country. They will respect me. They won't be doing it. But here's what we have to do. If they don't come to the table, they're going to have a tax when they put their products into this country. And they're going to behave.
So you would tax their products coming into the United States? You're talking about a trade war.
I'm talking about a fair war. I'm talking about also, I have the smartest people on Wall Street lined up already. They're going to represent us on Japan, on Mexico. Mexico, by the way, is taking our jobs. I love the Mexican people. They're great people. But the leadership is too smart for our country. Ford Motor Company moving a $2.5 billion plant to Mexico.
But there's nothing you can do about that as president.
Sure there
is. You can't. How do you keep them from exporting American jobs to Mexico?
Let's say Ford moves to Mexico. If they want to sell that car in the United States, they pay a tax. Here's what's going to happen. They're not going to build their plant there. They're going to build it in the United States.
But there is a North American free trade agreement.
And there shouldn't be. It's a disaster.
But it is there.
Yes,
and if you're president, you're going to have to live with it.
We will either renegotiate it or we will break it. Because, you know, every agreement has an end.
You can't just break the law.
Excuse me. Every agreement has an end. Every agreement has to be fair. Every agreement has a defraud clause. We're being defrauded by all these countries.
It's called free trade,
no,
and it is a plank of the Republican platform.
Scott, we need fair trade, not free trade. We need fair trade. It's got to be fair.
Trump's differences with Republicans and Democrats have him rising on a mood of national frustration. In our CBS News poll, nearly half of Republicans in the early primary states say they're not dissatisfied with Washington. They're angry. They tell us that business know-how matters much more than a political resume.
Hello, sir.
And when they see the multi-billionaire in his private 757, 80% of Republicans say they see a strong leader.
So I want to build our country. Our country has been decimated. We have spent so much money in the Middle East and other places. Our roads are falling apart. Our bridges are falling apart. Everything's falling apart. We have to rebuild our country.
This sounds great. How are you going to pay for it?
We're going to absolutely be able to pay for it. My economy will expand so rapidly. We're going to take jobs back from other countries, and we will be able to pay for it.
Are you serious about deporting 12 million illegal immigrants?
Well, nobody knows the number, but the answer is, you just said it. They're illegal immigrants. They're here illegally. First of all, I have to start a little bit differently. We're going to build a wall, and we're going to create a border. It's going to be a great wall, and it's not going to be very expensive, and it's going to be peanuts compared to the kind of numbers. Do you know?
How are you going to build a wall that is cheap and impenetrable?
It will be a real wall. It'll be a wall that works. It'll actually be a wall that will look good, believe it or not, because what they have now is a joke. They're ugly, little, and don't work.
Let's assume your wall has gone up.
Good.
11, 12 million illegal immigrants
still
in the country.
Yeah.
What do you do?
If they've done well, they're going out and they're coming back in legally. Because
you're rounding them all up.
We're rounding them up in a very humane way, in a very nice way. And they're going to be happy because they want to be legalized. And by the way, I know it doesn't sound nice But not everything is nice.
It doesn't
Somebody
sound practical.
Somebody has to do it. It is practical. It's going to work. They have to come here legally. And, you know, when I talk about the wall, and I said it before, we're going to have a tremendous, beautiful, wide-open door, nice big door. We want people to come into the country.
You know, the problem with a lot of these ideas is that the president of the United States is not the CEO of America.
That's right.
The Constitution is going to tell you no. The Congress
we'll
is going to tell you no.
We'll
the Supreme
see.
Court is going to tell you no.
Well, we'll see.
And you're not used to working
look,
in an environment like
I
that.
I do it all the time. I
Who
deal
tells
all the
you
time.
No?
I do it all the time. Not that many people. No, I do it all the time. And I deal with governments all the time. I have overseas, I have vast holdings overseas.
What is the role of the U.S. military in the world?
I want to have a military that's so strong, so powerful, so modern, has the greatest equipment in the world, and that everybody says we're not going to mess with them. And we don't have that now.
When has the U.S. military been too small to accomplish its mission?
It's not a question of too small. We don't have leadership.
We're at war with ISIS as we sit here. How do you end it?
I would end ISIS forcefully. I think ISIS, what they did was unbelievable with James Foley and with the cutting off of heads of everybody. I mean, these people are totally a disaster. Now, let me just say this. ISIS in Syria, Assad in Syria, Assad and ISIS are mortal enemies. We go in to fight ISIS. Why aren't we letting ISIS go and fight Assad, and then we pick up the remnants? Why are we doing this? We're fighting ISIS, and Assad has to be saying to himself, they are the nicest or dumbest people that I've ever met.
Let me get this right. So we lay off ISIS for now.
Excuse
in Syria.
Me,
lay off in Syria. Let them destroy Assad, and then we go in behind that.
That's what I would say.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I would say.
Or he had another idea. Leave it to an old adversary.
If you look at Syria, Russia wants to get rid of ISIS. We want to get rid of ISIS. Maybe let Russia do it. Let him get rid of ISIS. What the hell do we care?
Okay, that's Syria. What do you do in Iraq with ISIS?
Look, with ISIS in Iraq, you got to knock them out.
How do you do that?
You got to fight them. You got to fight them.
On the ground.
You have to send it. If you need, you're going to have to do that. Yes.
Troops on the ground.
Yes.
15 years ago, he advocated a preemptive strike on North Korea's nuclear program, which he still sees as a major threat.
Well, you're going to have to do something at some point.
You would drop a bomb on their nuclear reactor?
I would do something. You have to do something about North Korea. Now, what I would do is I would make China respect us because China has extreme control over North Korea. And I would say, China, you better go in there and you better do something because economically it could cost China.
And they're going to listen to Donald Trump.
They're going to listen to
They don't listen to the President of the United States, but Donald Trump, they're going
to
listen.
Just like I have the Chinese banks in my buildings, they listen to me. They respect me. China has almost complete control over North Korea. China will do that. And if they don't do that, they have to suffer economically because we have the engine that makes China work. You know, without the United States and without China sucking out all our money and our jobs, China would collapse in about 2 minutes.
What's your plan for Obamacare?
Obamacare is going to be repealed and replaced. Obamacare is a disaster. If you look at what's going on with premiums, where they're up 45, 50, 55%.
So how do you fix it?
There's many different ways, by the way. Everybody's got to be covered. This is an un-Republican thing for me to say, because a lot of times they say, no, no, the lower 25%, they can't afford private. But
universal health care.
I am going to take care of everybody. I don't care if it costs me votes or not. Everybody's going to be taken care of much better than they're taken care of now.
The uninsured person?
Right.
Is going to be taken care of.
They're going to be taken care of.
How?
I would make a deal with existing hospitals to take care of people. And you know what? This is probably...
Make a deal. Who pays for it?
The government's going to pay for it, but we're going to save so much money on the other side. But for the most part, it's going to be a private plan, and people are going to be able to go out and negotiate great plans with lots of different competition, with lots of competitors, with great companies, and they can have their doctors, they can have their plans, they can have everything.
In your book, The America We Deserve, you proposed raising the Social Security retirement age to 70. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, not anymore, because now what I want to do is take money back from other countries that are killing us, and I want to save Social Security. And we're going to save it without increases. We're not going to raise the age, and it will be just fine.
How are you going to do that? It is a basket case.
Through capability. We will set it up by making our country rich again.
You know, the heart of all of your plans seems to be we're going to be rich.
We're going to do great. As a country, we are going to do great.
You know, neither party likes you very much. How are you going to get...
I would say that's true, yes.
How are you going to get anything through
Congress? Well, when you say the party, the establishment does it. For instance, I noticed that the
Well, that's who Congress is.
No, that's okay.
How are you going to get anything?
I've gotten along with politicians my whole life. I've made a fortune on politicians. Nobody knows politicians better than I do. I get along with politicians.
You're not going to be able to buy them anymore.
No, I'm not going to buy them. I'll get along with them. You got to get along, and you got to get people to do what you... It's called leadership. We don't have any leadership right now.
The next president of the United States.
In Dallas this month, he nearly filled a 20,000-seat arena. Our poll shows that his support extends from Republicans to independents, young and old, evangelical and not. But his poll numbers did slip slightly last week. And nationally, among all voters, majorities of blacks and Hispanics disapprove. Trump told us he will pay for his campaign all the way through the nomination.
Yeah, I'm totally willing to. I'm self-funding my campaign. Now, once you get into the nomination, then the Republican Party kicks in and they raise all this money and they do whatever they have to do. But I am absolutely 100% doing it myself.
You love hearing about yourself.
I do.
It is oxygen to you. What does that tell us about Donald Trump?
No, if I'm on a show, I'll turn on the show, but I don't think I'm any different than anybody else. If somebody's...
I was in your office, all the magazines on your desk...
Well, I have a lot of covers.
Are covers of you.
I think I have
all
more
the
covers.
Pictures on the wall are pictures
well,
of
it's,
you.
It's cheaper than wallpaper.
What are we supposed to take from that?
You know, look, I'm on a lot of covers. I think maybe more than almost any supermodel. I think more than any supermodel. But in a way, that's a sign of respect. People are respecting what you're doing.
So this is the corner office at 5th Avenue and 57th, probably
right.
The most expensive intersection in the world.
I would say it is, absolutely.
But there isn't enough respect, he told us, for the business he built. Trump Real Estate scrapes the skies of the world, apartments, offices, hotels, casinos, famous golf courses, and television shows. He started with his father's successful real estate, and now Trump says he's worth $10 billion. Others estimate $4 billion. Real estate values are notoriously variable.
And your father also used to tell you, if I have this right, attack, attack, attack.
I'll tell you what, my father was a really good man with a tremendous heart, but he was a tough cookie.
With a tougher hide, perhaps, than his son, who has sometimes gone to war with reporters.
Why so thin-skinned?
I don't like lies. I don't mind a bad story. If you did a bad story on me for 60 minutes, if it were a fair story, I wouldn't be thin-skinned at all. You know, some of the media is among the worst people I've ever met. And I mean a pretty good percentage is really a terrible group of people. They write lies. They write false stories. They know they're false. It makes no difference. And frankly, I don't call it thin-skinned. I'm angry.
An impression is created, though, that you like to dish it out, but you can't take a punch.
Oh, I think I can take it. I can take it if it's fair. Again, if people say things that are false, which happens a lot with me, if people say things that are false, I will fight, like, harder than anybody. If I do something wrong, and that happens, and they write a fair story that I did something wrong, there's nothing to fight about. I can handle that. I don't like lying. You know, I'm a very honorable guy. I don't like lies.
What personal hardship has defined your character?
Well, I think I've had some, but I had a brother who was a fantastic guy, Fred. And he was a young man, and he passed away at a fairly young age. And he was an alcoholic. He would tell me constantly, don't drink. And I've never had a drink. I own the largest winery on the East Coast, and yet I don't drink, which is a little weird. But he'd say, don't drink. Don't smoke. And he would tell me all the time, because he had a problem with it. He died of alcoholism.
That is a warning that he's pressed on his children, three of whom run his companies.
I have children that are very good children. And so far, I knock on wood, right? You know, who knows?
Very accomplished, your three older children.
Terrific people. But I say, no drugs, no alcohol, no cigarettes.
Millions of people are wondering right now whether you are serious or whether this is a reality show. Yesterday you said, if the presidency doesn't work out, I'll go back to my business.
Well, that's true.
Do you intend
to
be president?
I mean, that's true. I can't guarantee.
Or not?
Totally. But that's true. I always like to have a downside. Now, I love my business. I didn't want to do this. I just see our country is going to hell, and I felt I had to do it.
I'm Leslie Stahl. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes. And tomorrow, be sure to watch CBS This Morning.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Are you a fan of 60 Minutes? You can represent the most watched series on television with shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, and more at ParamountShop.com. You can take 20% off with code MINUTES20. That's 20% off at checkout on all 60 Minutes products with code MINUTES20 at ParamountShop.com.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.